In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Best and rarest of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of your women.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show, the champions of the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are fighting for that last playoff spot.
In the comic book big leagues.
In the big leagues of comics.
I gotta make it to the big leagues. Walt.
Chris.
I don't know how I'm going to do it.
Chris, you know what? You could have been a contender.
I could have been a contender.
But you're a bum, Chris. You're
just a bum. I could have been a somebody.
Right. Chris, we are, of course, you and I, in the big leagues of comics.
Well, we are certainly somebodies.
Right. And we're here to, I guess, share our... What would you call it? Breadth of knowledge?
Absolutely.
Wealth of knowledge on all things comic books. And we're also here to just pass on new and exciting stuff
Absolutely.
In the world of comics.
We like to talk about, you know, both new and old stuff, right? I mean, it's not always just about the new, but it's not always just about the old. We like to have a wide variety, as it were,
right.
of comic book talk.
Right. And the things that we tell the listeners, they can trust and believe.
We
hardly ever err.
We hardly ever.
Deliver the hard facts.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
All right, Chris. As always, every week we're going to start with comics that are appearing at local comic book shops today, Wednesday.
Yes. And so let's dive right into New This Week, why don't we?
Sure.
All right. Well, New This Week is brought to you by Marvel's AVX. Not exactly the New 52, but hey, we threw one heck of a party.
Yes, they did. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
A little bit, absolutely, later in the show.
The whole Avengers versus X-Men.
Parties.
Pre-launch party or whatever.
Absolutely.
Is it pre-launch? I guess it's launch party.
Launch party, yeah.
Which happened Tuesday night last night.
So, well, we must, and of course, without further ado. Let's talk about Marvel AVX. Avengers versus X-Men number one, round one. I should say, came out today, late last night.
Late last night, yes.
We'll get into that later. I was a bit first about it. So here we have, I'm holding in my hot little hands the Avengers versus X-Men number one, and wow, it looks pretty amazing. The first few pages are pretty awesome. This is, of course, hold on a second. Give me that back for a second.
Hold on, take that back.
Brian Michael Bendis, John Romita. And of course,
Junior.
John Romita. Yes, John Romita Junior. I suppose I should say, and it's one heck of a looking book. It really is. It looks amazing.
Well, you know what? It was funny. I didn't get a chance to read this one. I read AVX Zero, the one last week,
which
was pretty cool. And by the way, Andrew, our engineer, pointed out if you turn to no spoiler here, but if you turn to just after the first page, after the insignia page. You got the Avengers X-Men, and there are like 85 Avengers and two X-Men. And it's like, well, this isn't fair.
Maybe that's the Avengers problem. Like, maybe the X-Men are really going to, you know, do well with all six people. And
yeah,
you know,
there's six of them.
Yeah.
And there's got to be, 20 at least of the Avengers. So
it looks like
it's going to be one heck of a fight.
Maybe later on there'll be more X-Men coming in, you know, into the fold. And really, one Phoenix or one Jean Grey is worth, you know, 40 different, visions, right?
Right. One Colossus is worth like one giant man.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
All right. You know what was good about last week's? I did enjoy last week. So this is a spoiler if you haven't read Zero. Scarlet Witch. She's like back. And what's her name? She gets taken back to Avengers Mansion, and she doesn't want to go.
Who, Scarlet Witch does?
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, the Vision meets her. Of course, they were married before.
Yes, they were.
And the Vision is, like, pissed.
Right.
And he's giving it to her both barrels. Right?
Okay.
And the best part about it is, as they're having that domestic,
right,
in the background, you see like Wolverine and Stark, and they got that look on their face. Have you ever been with a couple where they just go at each other?
Yeah,
And then you're with a buddy and you kind of look at each other.
You're like, I don't know what to say here.
Can we go home?
can we go home now?
Can we go home now? That's the look they had on
their
face. Anyway, that was priceless.
It was well conveyed.
Yes. Anyway, so that's exciting. Of course, Avengers versus X-Men will be flying off the shelves of your local comic book shop. So head in early to make sure you get your copy.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's keep on motoring along. We've got for our Detective Comics, DC, of course, for our DC comic, we have Detective Comics.
Hey,
how about that? I chose this one because I thought it looked pretty cool. In the first, on the splash page, this is no spoiler, but the splash page does have Catwoman in it.
Wow.
And on the cover, it's got what looks to be like an army of Scarecrow. The character Scarecrow. It looks
right.
Like there's more. There's like three of them on the cover there.
Mm-hmm.
So it just looks like it's a fun book. It's kind of getting back to what comics should be all about. You know, Batman beating up bad guys, and it just looks like it's a great book.
You know, Chris, there's nothing like Batman beating up bad guys.
I agree.
You
know? Absolutely.
There's never enough Batman beating up bad guys.
Yeah.
But like Detective, though, it's all the Batman titles of this DC New 52. They are – and I guess they're taking over where Batman left off before the continuity. Right,
right.
I mean, you had I won't say that Geoff Johns' Green Lantern things were an anomaly, but they weren't historically the titles that were up at the top of the DC heap,
right?
It's all like Batman has been the one constant for DC in the last at least 25 years.
Well, yeah, I mean, even in the like early 80s, Superman wasn't that great of a title. I mean, it's still, by the late 80s, it was doing okay. You know, they changed things around and he had four different titles, but it wasn't really always that strong. They published it, but it wasn't a great seller.
Yeah, whereas the Batman and Robin, Batman Dark Knight, Detective are just so strong. So, DC has a lot invested in Batman and so far so good that the report card on all the Batman titles Detective.
Yeah, it's very good.
Is excellent.
Absolutely.
So
it's very
good
very good.
DC there. Pick up Detective number 8 at your local comic shop today.
All right. Well, let's and as our alternative comic of the week, we decided to choose Grim Fairy Tales Presents The Library, number 5.
The Library.
Now, in case...
Remember Billy Van? Remember The Librarian?
Yeah, from Hilarious House of Frightenstein.
Yeah, where it was filmed in Hamilton here.
It was,
CHCH,
that's right. Yeah,
right?
CHCH. And...
And he would read a lame-ass story, and he'd be gone. And then the wolf said, boo. And then he'd look at the camera and go, did I scare you? Right? And of course, no. And anyway.
No. Yeah. And well, of course, remember, let's not forget that Vincent Price was also on that show as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a rumor, I don't know if this is true, there's a rumor that he actually had a house in Dundas.
Really?
I don't know if that's true, but I guess something to do with the filming of Hilarious House of Frightenstein,
right.
You know. But then I've heard that he did all of his takes in one day. So I don't know what the
truth
is out there. But anyways, we've got Grim Fairy Tales number 5. Sorry, The Library number 5.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's Grim Fairy Tales always goes back to the well. Same ideas, the classic Grimm fairy tale stories done in sort of a more adult way. And, because it's Xenoscope and because it's Grimm Fairy Tales, of course, there's always some sort of, monsterish kind of people. Like, so this one has like a...
Well, you got Hawkeye, Hercules, and little Reed Richards Jr. there.
Right. Well, it's some guy with a bow and arrow, and there's some sort of like...
That might be Robin Hood, right?
Yeah, could be. Or it's and there's some other dude there.
And of course, it would not be Grimm Fairy Tales without a hottie.
Well, that's what I was getting to. That's right.
I'm
without
sorry.
The hot chick.
I'm
that's
sorry.
Right. Yeah. And of course, she's wearing a schoolgirl outfit, which I'm pretty sure didn't really happen a whole lot in Grimm Fairy Tales.
Yeah.
But,
All right. Well, listen, Grimm Fairy Tales. The thing with Grimm Fairy Tales is because it's number 5, and Grimm Fairy Tales. There's how many the 20 different titles of Grimm Fairy Tales?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
85.
Yeah. How many Grimm Fairy and they're all under the Grimm Fairy Tales umbrella.
Yeah.
But this is obviously
somebody
they're
buys
selling.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody buys it.
All right. So that's check that out. Your local comic shop today, Grimm Fairy Tales, the library.
Yes. And last but not least, we have our we normally have a kids pick of the week. I don't know. I guess this is a kids pick. It's sort of an odd kids pick, but it's the Archie Meets Kiss. Now, of course, I'm talking about Kiss as in the band.
Wanna rock and roll all night.
Yeah, that one.
Party every day.
All right, okay.
You know, remember that song? Sorry. That went on forever. That one verse.
Oh, yeah.
Just like goes off 72 times. You know, stop already.
That's all the song is.
But no, I mean, there's like a little chorus or line, a verse at the beginning, and then they go to I Wanna Rock and Roll All
and
Night.
Then that's,
and it's like they forgot to shut. friend of mine, Jay, he said when he was young, he was into Kiss, and his uncle, they were driving to Ottawa, and that song came on, and the uncle checked his tape. He thought it was broken. Anyway.
So we got the Archie Meets Kiss trade paperback coming
out. Right, yeah, the comic.
Came out today, rather. And now, as I said, I mean, I guess it's like a kid's comic, but it's kind of an odd kid's comic because it's, you know, it's all the Kiss characters, but they're all been archified.
Archified, you're right. Yeah. Hey, USA Today calls it wonderfully bizarre.
Well, yeah, it certainly is that.
And
what's even more bizarre, it looks like the characters from Josie and the Pussycats have the Kiss makeup on.
Yeah.
So they've got like the tongues hanging out like Gene Simmons does, right? So it's
you know what? That's all right, though. I mean, Kiss was always a rock band that you know, 12, 13-year-olds.
Right.
Right? They weren't like a rock band. Like, they weren't like Pink Floyd where
adults
listen to,
they're
right?
They're like a little kid heavy metal kind of band, right? Like,
because
they're fun and they're like monsters and crazy people with makeup
and
on. Hey, did you ever see the that Kiss movie Phantom of the Paradise?
Absolutely not. No, I didn't.
You didn't miss much.
No,
that's all I'm
all
saying.
Right. Well, listen, Archie Meets Kiss, that's the graphic novel, is at your local comic shop today, so run up there and check that out. And Chris, I think that's it for new this week.
That's right, yeah. So we're going to go to a musical interlude here. Give me 1 second, and I'm going to get it all going. All right. Well, because we're talking about Archie and Josie and the Pussycats, here's a little Josie and the Pussycats.
All right, Chris, great pick, as always. Excellent segue into, what are we doing? Comic Culture
Mailbag.
Yeah. This week, Comic Culture Mailbag is... Mailbrag. Yes. Is brought to you by the Fantastic Four. Hey! We're down here! Remember us? Whatever happened to Fantastic Four?
Well, yeah, I mean...
They're obviously still going.
Of course, of course.
There's just nothing going
on. I know, you know what? But you know what? The books do sell okay, and they're good stories.
Yeah, they are, but it just seems... You know what? You got Avengers excitement going
on.
Spidey's always top dog.
Yeah.
X-Men are always getting the glory. Yeah. It's like everybody's forgotten
But you know
the
what?
FF.
You know what? When the new FF movie comes out... Like,
I hope so.
Well, it'll do well again. It all ebbs and flows, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think like the next big event should be FFVXF.
FFVXF.
Yeah, like Fantastic Four versus X-Force or something. Like man's Avengers versus X-Men.
I like that. Yeah, that's good. And they can find it in all their finest quarter bins later on.
Are you kidding? They'll have a launch party. All right.
Are you kidding me?
All right. Chris, Comic Culture Mailbag, this week it's addressed to you.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to read it.
All right.
It says, hey, dear Chris, what drink goes best with what comic?
Oh, well, that's...
Rusty from Dundas wants to know.
Rusty. Okay. Well, you know what, Rusty? Really, it really depends on what...
Rusty, you asked the right guy. I'm telling you that much.
It really depends on the drink, of course, as to what comic goes, he goes with it. But, you know, for example, if you're reading, like, say, something like... Blankets. You know, like a big graphic novel or Persepolis or something like that.
Yeah.
You want to have a nice fine wine, right?
Fine wine. White or red?
I'd say white. Sorry, white. Red. White, if you're reading, say, something from Seth, you know.
Right, okay.
You know, or something that's from Drawn and Quarterly.
Yeah.
If you're reading, like, you got to go with beer if you're reading anything by Johnny Ryan for Angry Youth Comics.
Oh, right.
It's got to be beer, right? Because it's like, it's
a good point.
Or even, Dr. McGillicuddy's Fireball or something like that, right?
Yeah. Well, now, how about, okay, on everybody's mind, they're picking up, hey, you know what? I saw a couple guys last night. They're all excited. They picked up their AVX.
Right.
They're heading home to party.
Right.
Maybe they swung by the beer store or the liquor store.
Right,
beforehand.
Right.
What should have they picked up?
That's
with
Ryan,
their AVX.
Ryan Coke all the way. They should have
Ryan
got a good bottle of Crown Royal and their favorite bottle of some sort of cola to go with it. Uh-huh. Ryan Coke all the way.
Oh, good.
Absolutely.
For that.
Absolutely. Right, yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, I'd say, you know, if you want. You know, like Savage Sword, you got to go with a big flagon of mead.
Yes. Mead. Can you get mead anywhere?
I'm sure you probably could.
Right.
And then, you know, other than that, maybe, I don't know, if you're reading like something like, you know, Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You want to go with like a gin and tonic.
Oh,
you know?
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, because that'll probably help pickle you as well, right?
Yeah. All right. I've been there before.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
Well,
so
what's
good.
I mean, now, as far as, you know, what if there's anything else to go with, I mean, you should always have like a nice old cheddar to go with the wine, you know, with
if you're reading Deadpool, maybe cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm starting to catch on now.
Yeah.
You see, now, I guess even if you're picking a beer, it depends.
Oh,
beer.
It's a great
point. If you're
going
with like a European type
because
of thing.
Because as I said, for Angry Youth, you'd probably want like Colt 45, right?
Right,
but
right.
But you know,
Steeler.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, say something like if you're reading Thor, say like the Walt Simonson run on Thor, you know, Heineken. Right?
Yeah, like
Heineken,
European beer.
Exactly. Yeah,
oh,
for sure.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good for you.
That's
right,
I think, anyways. I mean, if any of our listeners have any better ideas, they're certainly more than welcome to write to us and let us know.
Write to us. All right, Chris. Well, thanks. I think, is it Dusty or Rusty? Who the hell wrote
Rusty?
Rusty from Dundas. I hope that helped. You know what? Rusty's probably sloshed already. He's probably not even listening
to us.
Most
people
anymore.
Are who listen to the show.
Right. All right. Thanks, Rusty. Thanks for that email. And where the heck are we now?
We're going to Trailer Trash.
We're going to Trailer Trash. And Trailer Trash is it brought to you by anything? I'm lost.
Sure.
I'm totally lost.
Sure.
I am totally lost. All that talk of alcohol has got me tipsy.
Trailer Trash is brought to you by comic book stores everywhere.
Yes.
Thanking you for their patronage, especially for AVX.
Right. Okay, good. All right, Chris, let's talk about some Trailer Trash.
Trailer Trash. Here we go.
It seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, I will.
And our
listeners might do that too.
Yes. There seems to be some sort of internet virus. Everywhere you go, there's an Avengers trailer.
Right.
They're everywhere.
Well, that's good.
It's either a trailer or an ad or some sort of still.
Yeah.
It's just Avengers.
It's all
everywhere.
Over the place.
Right.
And clearly, what we're talking about today is going to be, you know, a great example.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I typed in my favorite Jenna Jameson site, and the Avengers came up, and they're everywhere. I'm telling you.
That gives a whole new meaning to Iron Man.
Right.
Yeah.
Chris, so the one I watched a couple of these,
okay,
actually. So there was one, there's a couple of great.
You talking about Jenna Jameson?
No,
are
you kidding me?
Oh, okay. Yeah, your wife doesn't let you do that anymore.
Right. The commercials, there's a whole bunch of Avengers commercials, which are really cool now. There's one for the Acura, like a sports ute.
Right.
And so you know that scene that's making its rounds through the streets of Cleveland there where the cars are blowing up and everything
and all that kind of
stuff. Well, there's an Acura and a husband and wife or a couple driving through there.
Yeah.
And there's like the online navigation system telling them to avoid aliens and to avoid this and to avoid
right,
that. It's
right.
a pretty cool commercial.
I think that online GPS system, I think that was donated by Stark Industries.
It's
able to be. You know,
right.
But
yeah.
sadly, I don't think that's quite available yet for North American markets.
Rather. See, the Japanese probably got it.
They're way ahead of us. Yeah.
Right. And there was that other one, the Target ad, which was cute, which was all these little kids. They're hunting down Loki.
Yeah.
And then they lost. They can't find Captain America. Can't find his shield.
Oh.
And they're all actual little Avengers.
Right, right, right.
And then Captain America goes, "Oh, I can't find my shield. I think my mom has it." Right. And then they're like little kids.
Right.
That come up to
right.
their mom, and mom gives them the shield, and then they're back to being Avengers.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's
so cute. That was for Target.
She was probably using it to bake something with.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably.
Captain America cookies.
Right. Or that old hippie was using it to play frisbee with his dog.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Anyway, what else was there in the?
They've got the new poster spotlighting S.H.I.E.L.D. because Marvel Studios has released a new Avengers poster, and it's going to spotlight S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent and the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent of Agent Coulson because it's just in time for the actor's Clark Gregg, his 50th birthday. So now he gets to be prominently on a poster and feel good about himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so here's like a nobody in the movie.
Well,
no,
I wouldn't say he's a nobody, but you know he's got a prominent role.
But he gets his own poster. Come on.
Well, you know, you got to give posters to the
guys that don't deserve.
To the corporates, right?
I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a very cool Phil Coulson poster available.
Now, if you had a checklist of all the posters to get, the Phil Coulson one would be the one that you've already got.
Yeah,
because
nobody
wants it, so
no.
you're like, oh,
right,
man,
yeah, man.
Yeah, I got that one already. Yeah, I got that one.
I got to show you my poster collection. I got the old Farrah Fawcett one. And check the Phil Coulson one.
I got
one
the
right
Phil
here.
Coulson one. I hear
wow.
it's going to be rare in the future because
yeah,
everybody will be
it.
Burning them.
Yeah, tell me about it. All right. Chris, that I guess covers
that
everything.
Does it for Trailer Trash.
What are we going to do? Are we going to go?
Let's go right into industry news.
All right, good for you.
Right into industry news, and industry news is brought to you by the Comic Culture Radio Show, the comic book world dissected, dismantled, studied, analyzed, then tightly repackaged for your enjoyment.
That is what we do, isn't it?
Well, kind of, yeah, kind of. Yeah, is that what we do?
Well, that's what we want to do,
oh.
right? I think there's intent there, and I think sometimes intent is very important in the court of law.
It says studied and analyzed. I didn't really realize those are. I guess those are two different things. I guess so. Study.
I'm not sure.
Research them, study them, analyze
we'll
them.
We'll have to ask the guy who wrote that ad. Anyway. Chris, let's talk about Scott Pilgrim. You know, Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, so Scott
Canadian
Pilgrim
property.
By Brian Lee O'Malley, of course.
Yep.
Good Canadian
local
kid there.
Kid, yeah.
Yep. Of course, his creation went on to do into – actually, it was kind of ties in with Trailer Trash because his creation was a movie. It became the Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're going to publish his Oni is going to publish his stuff in color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big announcement. They're going with the hardcover.
Yep.
And so, okay – what do you think about this? Do you like? There are some things where remember when the Turner Network was
Turner Broadcasting,
colorizing. Yeah. Is it colorizing?
Yeah.
The old Hollywood classics, the old film noir stuff, and people were all up in arms. No, they have to be seen in black and white.
Yeah.
You need Bogey in a fedora in black and white.
Yeah,
and you can't have that, right?
Yeah.
And there was some sort of a. Now, you're either in black and white for two reasons when you're doing a comic book.
Right.
You're either in it because you don't have the budget at the beginning. You're
right.
a self-creator and
right.
whatever.
Which is more than likely what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
you want to tell the story in black and white because that's an integral part of the way the story is told.
Exactly. Now,
right.
for example, like, you know, Cerebus was in black and white probably at the beginning because it was cost effective.
Right.
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 Whereas Parker the Hunter
yes.
is in black and white because it looks better in black
Yeah, or
white.
Shady black.
Shady, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
just tones,
it's
right?
Got the,
yeah.
It's got that tone to it. It's
yeah.
got a film noir
yeah.
kind of look to it. So really, those deserve to be in the proper kind of context. Now, here's the thing. So I remember, do you remember when that issue of Spawn came out and Sarah was actually on the cover.
Yes.
And
yes.
All of a sudden he was like, color, right? Like,
yeah,
he
had yeah. Never,
and this is the thing, right? You know, where Cerebus, it looks really weird to see him in color.
Yeah.
Because you're so used to seeing him in black and white for so many years.
You don't know what color to associate the guy
with. No, that's right. That's right. So it kind of deserves to be in only in black and white, in my opinion.
Right.
Now, having said all that, Marvel and DC have both been releasing trades over the years, the essentials and the showcases,
uh-huh.
that are reprints of the color comics,
yeah.
and now they're in black and white.
Going back to black and white.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think that was to try to get 30 stories into the hands of people for $20.
Right, right? Sure,
so
sure.
I think that was just the cheapest way to get that story to the customer. And I mean, if the original one was in color, then, you know, I don't think you're going to – my personal opinion would be you wouldn't enjoy it as much in black and white.
Right. Well, you know what? It's funny because some of them – I look at some of those books, and some of them I actually enjoy better because I can see the quality of the inking and the quality of the art really comes out more so without the color. However, there's an aspect of it that's missing because you kind of expect to have all these cool Spider-Man comics in color or Batman in color because that's you sort of associate modern comics in color and all these characters in color. So why shouldn't it be that way, right?
Fair enough. You know what? To Scott Pilgrim's defense, though, I'll tell you one comic that the later colorization did help, I thought, was Bone.
Absolutely, yeah.
Bone is just, I won't say 10 times, but twice as good in color as it was black and white. And it was great in black and white.
True enough.
So let's hope Scott Pilgrim translates that way as well.
Yeah,
but you know what? The one thing, while we're on this, they are coming out with that dumb 6x9 hardcover format. That's the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah, I agree.
I hate that.
Yeah, I don't
you
like
know
that.
What? People, when they go home to their bookshelves, it doesn't go on their bookshelf.
No, I hate that.
Sticks out. It's ugly. It's like people like comic shops have no – like they can't put it in the continuity of their sequence.
Put it in a format that it was intended for.
A standardized format. If it's the digest ones, then it's the digest ones.
Exactly.
Right.
And you know what? We've talked about this before because remember when Mouse Guard came out? It was the one comic. It was a great book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, won lots of awards. But where do you put it?
Exactly.
Right? It doesn't fit in the comic box.
It could have doubled sales by standardizing its size.
Yeah.
I guarantee that.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Chris, let's keep it moving. Let's talk about Brian Michael Bendis signing with Random House.
Yeah, this is cool. So Brian Michael Bendis, who's obviously one of the bigger bigwigs at Marvel Comics.
Yes, he
you know,
is.
He's yeah. sort of the. I don't know if he's the brainchild, but he certainly helps.
He drives a lot of the current stories
that are happening. Well, I don't even know if maybe some people don't even know that when he first started, in comics, he was working for Calibre, and he was doing all kinds of black and white. Here we go again with the black and white.
Sure.
Black and white comics and graphic novels, and that's sort of how he got his start. You know, he did Torso, and geez, I can't remember one of the other ones.
Great
he did.
Book, Torso.
Anyway, so he started off with Calibre, and he did a lot of graphic novels, and that's sort of how he got into the comic book industry. Is he was actually doing more graphic novels than anything, and then now he's going ahead and he's doing a book about comic book writing called Words for Pictures: The Art and Business of Graphic Novels. Now this isn't obviously the first kind of book that's come out about how to do graphic novels.
There's many of those.
There's
right?
many of them out there. However, he's probably one of the most prominent guys that has actually put out a book. Because you know what's funny about the comic book industry? A lot of the major creators of comic books don't put out how-to books.
Yeah,
it's always these guys
like schmucks. Yeah,
yeah,
like me and you.
Like me. Yeah. Exactly.
Chris
what I was going
to
say.
How to do radio.
How to draw comics.
All right, how to draw comics.
The Marvel way.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Now, here's my take on this. And, and we've all read Brian Michael Bendis' books. They're all text-heavy.
Right.
If there's a guy that can turn, like, one thought into 50 pages.
Oh, it's him.
It's him.
Yeah.
So it's going to be just on and on with this guy.
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, the way he tells stories has always been interesting.
Yes.
So I would imagine, because what's happening? I remember, it was at Eisner Eisner had the book once on sequential art and stuff like that. But
okay, yeah.
But
yeah.
I remember reading it and or trying to read it, and the stuff is more technical and a little bit drier.
Right.
Whereas I'm hoping with Bendis,
right,
because he's a great storyteller to begin with, he can maybe dumb it. Now I won't say dumb it down, but make it a little bit more entertaining in the sense of, hey guys, this is what you do, and he'll make it fun. He'll make it readable.
I hope so.
Because. I don't know. It's supposed to be advice for the aspiring comic book writers. So,
right. I mean, so people should obviously know who he is, and they're going to flock to him because he's been so successful. I know his style of writing isn't for everybody. As you say, it's he's very wordy at times, and sometimes he's a little bit too wordy for my likings. But you know what? His style of writing, like, you know, when he did Powers, right, with Michael A. von Oeming, he sort of revolutionized the way that comics were even, like, the word balloons were being read, right? Because he kind of interlapped them and kind of
a little bit different
the way he did that. But anyways.
It's the same, but different. It's different.
That's right.
All right. Chris, let's keep it going.
Okay. Sounds good.
We have some action down in New York City.
New York.
Yeah,
New
our
York.
Buddies down in Comic Connect, they're putting out – it might be over now. I checked yesterday or the day before, and they had that check. There was a check that DC – or it was actually – the company was actually called Detective Comics in the late 30s.
Right.
And they had bought the rights from the Schuster people for Superman.
Right.
For $130.
Wow. Okay, hold on. So you're telling me that these guys, so the bigwigs at Detective Comics.
The bigwigs at Detective Comics.
Wasn't that National?
Yeah, I think it was called Detective at that time.
Okay, so from Detective,
mm-hmm.
They actually paid $130 for the rights to Superman.
Yes.
$130,
and there's that check. And believe it or not, that check was kept by National Periodicals, DC, whatever you want to call them.
Right, right.
Until 1973, where they won a court order saying that, you know, they own Superman.
Cool.
And so they discarded this check, I guess. This check was evidence.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And some astute DC employee kept it, though.
Oh, interesting.
Didn't want to throw it out,
and he
kept it. And here it is now. It is at $34,500, or was, when I checked last. Who knows what it's
cool.
at now.
That's pretty
so,
cool.
And that is a great piece of history. Now, here's a comic book, Chris, that has sold for three different copies have sold for over $1 million. That Nicolas Cage one sold for $2 million.
Yeah, that's right.
And here's now the check that DC gave to Joe Shuster, the co-creator of Superman, for $130, written in 1938 for control of the Superman thing. Getting now, like, who knows what it's going to close at, $35,000.
That's amazing.
Isn't that? Yeah, that is a great piece of history. I think that's probably a bargain in terms of it being an historical artifact.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's Superman, the Superman S and the Superman as an icon has got to be one of the most recognized symbols around the world, right?
yes.
You know, you can put Mickey Mouse up there, Superman's up there.
Batman,
Bugs Bunny. Yeah, you know, there's lots of them that are up there, but I mean, they're got to be up in the top echelon,
right?
For sure.
All right. hey, let's keep it moving. Let's talk about Angry Birds.
All right,
getting a cartoon series.
So Angry Birds. Now this is the video game that it's on all. It's on your. You can get it on your smartphone.
On your
you get a
microwave. Everywhere.
Exactly.
It is everywhere.
Now, so they're getting its own cartoon series. That's
uh-huh.
that's pretty amazing.
Mm.
So now here's the thing. So what I'm wondering, you know, if Angry Birds, if you can get a cartoon series, where else? What other kind of products can it become?
It should be a comic too.
That is an excellent idea.
Yeah,
excellent
it should
idea.
Be a comic. Angry Birds started as an app.
Right.
Now, here's the thing, too, right? Apps on your phone,
yep.
on your smart
yeah,
devices.
Yeah, it's a game
whatever.
App, yep.
But, okay, does apps qualify for a totally different medium? Like you know, like you got your video games, you got your movies, you got your TVs, you got your comic books, you got, like, apps. Is that, like, a whole new genre of
nah,
media?
Nah, not really, because they're just, it's just a subgenre, because, right, because you get apps for bookkeeping, you have apps that are video games, you know,
yeah,
it's all
I
the
guess.
Same sort
I
of thing.
I guess you're right, just, yeah.
They're just applications, right?
So. Okay, but still, it's a property that's popular enough, and we've proven time and time again that things move into comics and out of comics,
yes,
into other places.
Yes.
And Angry Birds certainly is popular enough for a monthly comic book.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. Now, but here's the thing. Now, who's going to publish it? Let's say Angry Birds does get, you know, the go-ahead, and it's going to become a comic book. Who's going to publish it? Because
Which publisher?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Depending on the publisher, you could have a completely different comic.
You know what? That's a great point.
Right, you know, so say, for example, if it's, you know, like a Marvel comic.
Right.
Is it still even going to be Angry Birds, or does it become like mutant birds?
Mutant birds.
You know.
Mutant radioactive black belt birds.
That then you're going to have like 40 different tie-ins to figure out how the story is going to go.
And, you know, and at one point, Stan, he'll claim that he invented them.
Well, yeah, I remember when I first created
Angry Birds.
And here's the thing.
Sorry, Stan.
A video game like Angry Birds, really, there's no dialogue. But I bet somehow Brian Michael Bendis could find dialogue.
Right,
yeah. He would go on to soliloquies about how angry the birds
how
are.
How angry, yeah. You know what? Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know what? We'd have to kind of count Marvel out.
Probably, yeah.
DC, though, could do it. DC could do it, but I don't know.
But you know what? The problem is, if DC did it, it'd be relaunched in like a month.
Yeah, you never know.
They just cancel it and say, okay, remember the old Angry Birds?
Well, now old Angry Birds, Earth 7, Angry Birds. That's the little Angry Bird there is having an affair with the other Angry Bird. Yeah, they'd mess it up.
That was
too.
The lone Kryptonian Angry
Bird. Yes, yes, yes. You're right. Yeah. You're right. I'll say, count DC out of it.
Okay.
We can go to Image.
Oh, well. Now,
Angry
Birds. Okay, so if it is Image, now there's different images, though. Is it the early 90s image where it was all extreme and bloody and
no,
and
you know what
gory
it is, Chris? I'm telling you what it is. It's going to turn into the Angry Dead Birds written by Kirkman.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, and one won't have a feather.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be good.
The beak
good.
Is off and
yeah,
stuff like
that'd
that.
Good. That'd be good.
Beaking off.
Quit beaking off.
Quit beaking off. All right, so I think that covers all the publishers.
Well,
anyway,
pretty much.
Dark
Horse.
Except
and,
for about 15 other ones.
Yeah, yeah. IDW would have.
We're running out of material, though, in a quickly here. But that's cool, though. I'm glad Angry Birds is getting the cartoon series.
Absolutely.
I just want Angry Birds to get the comic series. And I am just going to pick.
You're going to pick?
I'm going to pick Boom Studios. They should get the property.
There you go. I like that idea. Although I would have gone with IDW because they seem to be very good with licensed things. But you know what? We can be both right. How's that sound?
Absolutely.
All right.
In the world of comics, we can be both right.
All right. Well, let's have a quick little musical interlude here. Your favorite and mine, the G.I. Joe cartoon. Hold on, technical difficulties.
G.I. Joe.
Sorry.
A real American hero. G.I. Joe
We're
is
having
there.
Technical difficulties here. Hold on. There we go. All right, here we go.
Yo, Joe! He'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe, American hero. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe against Cobra the enemy, fighting to save the day. He never gives up, he's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air. G.I. Joe,
G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare. G.I. Joe. G.I.
Joe. Hey, G.I. Joe. Chris, let's keep going with industry news.
All right,
and let's talk about Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, good idea.
Free Comic Book Day, of course, is fast approaching. I think there's 31 more sleeps.
Wow.
So Free Comic Book Day.
Is that for sure, or are you just making that up?
Well, it's close.
Well, we don't make things up here on this
36
show,
more sleeps. I'm not sure.
All
anyway.
Right. Somewhere around there.
Yeah, 31 more sleeps until Free Comic Book Day.
Yep.
And, of course, we're encouraging all our listeners to head up to their local comic shop on Saturday, May the 5th.
Right.
Because that's the day of days for comic shops.
And, well, that's going to be the weekend of weekends for comic shops, because that's also the same weekend on the Friday that the Avengers opens up. So this is like really going to be a major comic book weekend.
You know, once in like a millennium.
Yeah.
Uranus lines up with Neptune.
And don't be talking about that. Oh, sorry.
Okay. You know, it's one of those things.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the Avengers is lining up with Free Comic Book Day.
It's awesome.
And this is a once in a while opportunity. Like, I'm going to say, I'm going to go out on a limb and say a once in a year opportunity.
Absolutely. You know what? It's amazing that you can make those kind of bold statements like that.
Yeah. And so this is a big thing, and it's going to be, you know, like I said, everything's coming together, and it should reach a critical mass. So everybody's going to go out and enjoy the Avengers movie on the Friday night.
Yeah.
And then they're going to double back in on Saturday to their local comic shop.
Yep.
And pick up some free comics. Now, what you and I are going to do for the rest of the way in, up until Free Comic Book Day, is feature some of the comics that they could be picking up that day at their local shop. And one of them is Marvel's Avengers one.
Well, of course. I mean, how can Marvel not have an Avengers comic coming out the weekend the Avengers is coming out? And of course, as we look at the write up here. Brian Michael Bendis, that name sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Of course, he is the writer of this new Avengers comic. And this is called, this is one of their, one of Marvel's point one issues. Now, this is going to be a point one, like a bit of a jumping on kind of part, point, I should say, for people that aren't really familiar with what's going on. It's a way for people to figure it out and get.
I didn't really know what was going on.
And anyway, so it looks awesome. It's going to be all about the Avengers and the battle between the Avengers and the Intelligentsia.
Intelligentsia.
And the return of S.W.O.R.D. and the disappearance of Spider-Woman.
Oh, no. Where'd she go?
I don't know.
Right.
She disappeared like the little spider that she is.
Yes. So we're all going to the movie on Friday night.
Yep.
And then we're doubling back into the comic shop on Saturday to pick up more Avengers stuff.
You know what? I'm not
free.
I'm not going to double back because I'm going to sleep outside the store.
Yeah.
So
right after that midnight showing,
that's right.
You just park out in front of the store.
I'm going to wait until 10 a.m. when the store opens up.
You know, it's just a thought occurred to me how the times have changed, because you know, you hark back 40 years.
40 years,
yeah, and that
wasn't even alive yet.
Two generations ago, the young guys and girls they were sleeping and camping out, waiting for that Pink Floyd concert.
Right.
And now we're sleeping and camping out, waiting for free comic books.
It's so true. It's free comic books and movies, right?
And like movies, yeah.
Look what they did for the Hunger Games.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
A couple weekends ago, right?
You're absolutely right. Yeah. So the world is moving to a better place.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So let's talk about.
You're saying that Hunger Games is better than Pink Floyd's concert?
Well, healthier for you.
Oh, well, probably, yeah.
Right.
Don't take the green pill.
Yes.
All right, let's.
Chris, who else will be giving away free comics?
IDW will, of course, be giving away new comics.
Angry
comics.
Birds, I think, is going to be.
Not yet. They are, however, giving out a free Transformers comic. And this,
now, that one was interesting. I read up on that one.
This is. It's actually going to. Okay, here's. So,
here's the thing.
So. The original Transformers comic, the Marvel one, and I believe it ended at issue 80.
Yes, it did. Yeah,
and so now this one is going to pick up where issue number 80 left off.
Oh.
So basically, the IDW is going to go back and read all the Marvel comics, see what happened, and now they're going to say, okay, this new Transformers number one, we'll call it Transformers 80.5 instead.
Oh,
right, because because then they're going to have a Transformers. Number 81,
later on
in July. So they're actually going to continue on the way the stories went from issue number 80 from Marvel Comics, and they're going to continue on that series, which I think is pretty cool.
Right, because now I didn't read the Avengers in the 80s. Sorry, the Avengers.
The Transformers?
Transformers in the 80s. But I would imagine the Transformers of the 80s were like, help me if I'm wrong on these toy stuff. Like, they're like the Gen 1 Transformers.
Absolutely,
like,
yes.
They're like
for
the original initial Transformers lineup with Optimus
Prime
and all those kind of guys.
Hoptimus.
Hoptimus.
He's the one that makes the beer.
Right, yes. Right. Optimus Prime.
And
quick,
yeah.
Optimus.
Megatron and
yes.
Optimus Prime.
Right.
So this
is a cool gimmick. No, this is a cool. Now, from what I'm reading, though, this has been demanded by the fans. There's been like a groundswell of fans. Like, they're getting a lot of emails saying, hey, go back to that original Marvel thing and finish that or continue that.
Well, because,
and they listen.
Oh, for sure. And the thing is, because those comics were obviously successful, went to issue 80 issues. And then the people that are buying them now are still those same fans. But they don't necessarily want to read new stories about, you know, or sorry, a completely new, you know, canon about those characters, I guess I would call it. Like they wanted them to go back and talk about what happened in the old Marvel comics. It's just like when Larry Hama went back and redid G.I. Joe comics, you know, because Larry Hama was the guy that did all the G.I. Joe comics, you know, back in the day. And he wrote all the bios on all the, you know how the toys for G.I. Joes, would,
yes.
every toy would have a little bio thing in the back.
Course,
well, he wrote all those, right?
Right.
So Larry Hama was the guy for G.I. Joe. So when they asked him to do G.I. Joe comics after that, he was like, you'd have to buy it because he had the gospel.
He was
on,
the guy.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
So this is kind of cool because not quite to that extent because there was different artists and writers back then, but this is kind of cool because now they're just going back to the well and saying, hey, you know what? Let's talk about what happened after those 80 issues.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
I like it. I think it's a great idea.
All right. Let's what else do we got? We got
then, now from Archie Comics. We've got I know you're probably a little too old for this, but you probably don't remember Mega Man, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay, so Mega Man initially was a video game, primarily for like the Nintendo, right?
Mm-hmm,
you know, so
mm-hmm.
it was an old video game. Maybe even Sega. I can't remember if it was. My engineer is saying Nintendo. Yeah, I thought it was Nintendo, but then I started to doubt myself.
Right.
Anyway, so hugely popular. Anyways, they're making another Mega Man comic. There was a Mega Man comic before, but Archie is putting out another one here, and it looks pretty cool. It's called Let the Games Begin Part 1, and this is going to be a brand new series, and so it's a great jumping on point. And best of all, you're getting it for free.
Right. Now, here's my question. So we're covering, this week we're going to cover just three comics
right.
of all the just thousands that are going to be given away free that day.
Yeah.
Avengers from Marvel, Transformers from IDW, Mega Man though from Archie. I haven't looked at the rest of the books. Archie may have two books in there. I'm not sure.
Right, right. Okay.
But shouldn't they be pushing Jughead? Or I don't know. You know
I like
saying?
It because people already know about Archie. Archie's been around for forever, so selling Archie isn't really. It may be a tough sell because people just don't want to read Archie, but people already know who he is. Whereas if you're giving away a free Mega Man comic.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's Mega Man. Try it, man.
This is.
Sorry, man.
It being free, people will obviously pick it up. Now, I have a question for you.
Yo, man.
Yeah, man. Typically, at each store, how many free comics can the average customer get? Are they only allowed one?
Depends.
So if I wanted to come in and I want, okay, you know what? I want Avengers, Transformers, and Mega Man. Can I get them? Can I get all three of them?
You know what? It depends on the comic shop.
Oh, okay.
It depends on the comic shop. Some will have limits.
Right.
And what usually happens at comic shops, because believe it or not, these things are becoming cost prohibitive.
How so?
Like, it costs the comic shop to give away comics.
The publisher
subsidizes the cost to a degree, but you know, even for the Marvel and DC ones, you're still paying around 30 cents each. Some of the smaller press stuff can be in the 40 plus cents,
right,
50
right,
cents,
right.
right? So then it becomes just like, man, you know, like, and then, you know what, and if you're an astute businessman as a comic shop, which we hope all comic shop guys and girls are, because
right.
we want those shops to be around,
sure.
right? You have to ask yourself, okay, you know, Snart, you know, Ralph Snart.
I used to like that comic.
Yeah, okay, but whatever. So Ralph Snart's costing 62 cents.
Right.
Should I get 400 of them and give them away for free? How many new Ralph Snart subscriptions will that generate for
right,
me?
Right, right, right.
So there's that equation.
Yeah, yeah.
So what usually will happen is Some of them will limit it to four or five.
Okay.
Others won't. But what will happen is the small press type stuff that they're only getting maybe 30, 40, 50 samplings of each.
Right.
They'll disappear in the first few an hour or two. Right. And so at the end of the day, if somebody's coming in the tail end of Free Comic Book Day, maybe they're working that day or maybe whatever. There's usually the big pile of the Marvel one, the DC one, the Image one, that kind of stuff, five or six. Yeah. But, I mean, listen, it's new product if you can go in, especially if you go in with a family and you know, or two or three people, and you, listen, you buy, you know, you're picking these things up to read them. So, you know, you should get one, your sister should get another, and then that way people can leave with 10, 15 different ones just like that.
Right. Now, I have another question for you regarding Free Comic Books. I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, so I don't know if you know the answer, but I know you know your old back issues fairly well as far as costs go. Now, have any of these Free Comic Book Day comics ever gone up in value that you know of?
I do know that, like, for example, yes, so, for okay. sure.
So,
for sure.
So is there something that you know, people have gone in and picked up a free comic of one of these things, and now it's worth, like, double or five
like
bucks?
Double
or,
free. Wow. Yeah, Chris. Man. I picked this up for free. I doubled my money on eBay. That's awesome.
Ooh, I'm going to be hearing about that one.
Right. Yeah. that's good math. Anyway, let's all have a good chuckle about it. Remember the Umbrella Academy?
Yeah.
That Free Comic Book Day one, I remember somebody told me that they collected the whole set.
Okay, right.
And they bought a 9.8 out of 10, you know, CGC for like $50.
Oh, wow, okay.
So they paid money to have that issue because the Umbrella Academy was one of those, like I said, where maybe the comic shop keeps weren't buying a lot a lot of them to give away for free.
Right.
So, you know, so anyway, anyway, Chris, let's drop Free Comic Book Day. We got to talk about the big event that happened last night.
Yes.
Around the world.
Yes. No, we're going to have a quick musical interlude.
Yes.
And then we'll get right back to it. Here is Spider-Man by Aerosmith.
Tune Chris Aerosmith singing Spider-Man.
Yes.
Can't go wrong with that.
No, absolutely not.
All right, Chris, let's talk about that AVX launch party that happened
last night.
Tuesday night across the world.
Yes, across the world.
1,100 participating stores worldwide participated in the early release party of the Avengers versus X-Men, which we talked about earlier in the show. I guess the shops. Ours was busy up on the mountain.
Yep.
I guess the shops, we got little trinkets and stuff to give away, little what do you call it, swag?
Swag, yeah. buttons and posters and stuff like that. Yep.
And we were able to give it away and then just to create a little bit of buzz.
Yeah. I like it.
Around. So what had happened is it's usually we had it at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
We close at 8, so we had it from 8 to 9.
Oh, okay, right.
And
okay.
We had some, like, Timbits and cupcakes and stuff
isn't
like
that.
Nice? Yeah. And I think we roasted a lamb in the back. Little things like that. Little things, you know, extras for the customers.
Right.
Anyway, what was cool, I thought, was of the 1,100 participating shops, I went on the Marvel site and I actually kind of quickly counted out. There were 104 shops in Canada that participated.
Oh, very cool.
Which I guess is, you know, just over a tenth.
I was going to say, well, how many shops are in Canada? Do we know? I mean, it can't be. It's probably not much more than 104 anyways.
Yeah.
I would think that almost every shop in Canada participated.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say there's maybe 200 shops.
You think so?
Yeah, I think maybe half.
Wow, okay. I wouldn't have thought there was
I quickly checked, though. I quickly checked of the shops in the Hamilton area, four of the five participated.
Oh, very cool.
Right, so which is good. That's like 80%.
I didn't even know there's five in Hamilton. Okay.
All right. What I thought cool was there were shops all over the world. I quickly look again on Marvel. They had that shop locator for the event.
Oh, right.
And there were these are just a few of the spots. There were two in South Africa, one in Poland, one in Portugal, one in Holland, and that was called Cheap Comics.
So the one in Netherlands, in Holland, is called Cheap Comics.
It's called Cheap Comics. What a great name for a shop.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
How much for that? That's cheap, buddy.
It's a cheap comic. It's a cheap comic.
Yeah, and in Israel, of course, our friends, Comics and Vegetables.
Yeah, I've always found that to be a really weird name.
Yeah, they're actually on comicbookdaily.com under the progressive shop profiles.
Okay.
We have a profile on Comics and Vegetables.
I'll check that out. Yeah.
There was one in Hungary, and I think that was called Comics and Goulash.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah.
One in Costa Rica, one in Argentina. Which is great that people all over the world.
Yeah, this is awesome.
You know what? It got me thinking, though, Chris. Okay, you look at the world right now as like a worldwide village, right?
Right.
Pretty well, English is the pervasive language.
It is considered the universal language, yes.
Pretty well now, the popularity of North American heroes is universal.
You look at how
well Spider-Man and Batman do worldwide at the box office, and it just tells you that, right? Yeah. And though then you look at, you know, the 800 plus U.S. comic shops that participated in this. You look at the 100 plus Canadian shops that participated in this. But then you look at like the one in Italy, the one in Holland, and it tells you that there's going to be more international comic shops.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think that the local comic shop is a growth industry worldwide just based on the projections of you know, the English language and the culture of America, culture of superheroes, not of America.
Absolutely.
The superhero culture.
Yeah,
so I think going forward, you're going to have opportunities in countries like, say, in Italy in Germany or in England.
Well, I'm sure that there's already more stores in those areas, but these are the ones that actually just held the party, right?
Well, yeah, but so, you know what? If you look at it, though, comic shop owners are comic shop owners, right? So if you look at, you know, 60% of the Canadian ones probably held the event.
Right.
Say 60%. Right. I'm just eyeballing it. You know, I don't think there's only one comic shop in Italy.
No. But for example, there's none in France that are being here.
No, there were a couple in France. I just didn't write it down. So I'm sorry. But my point, though, is you know, I don't think that there's 100 shops in Italy, because why in Italy would there only be 1% of the people participating, whereas in Canada and the U.S., 60% are participating.
Right.
So that tells me that there's few shops,
just based on that thought forward.
This is an opportunity, I think, for you and me to be like the voice of comic shops around the
internationally.
World. Like, we're radio free comics.
I like that. That's good.
We're beaming our signal behind enemy lines. Spreading the word of comic books, that they're good.
Now here's the thing. Do you think you should maybe the next store for yourself should be in, like, Serbia? Maybe you should open up a store in Serbia.
Yeah, okay. Well, how about a place that has money?
Okay, okay, fine.
So anywhere in the Balkans, Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia is out.
How about like
Greece? Obviously is out.
How about in France, like in Nice, yeah, you know, in Nice or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
you know?
France or in Germany or, yeah. or in places yeah. like that. But you know, our friend Danny Champ.
Yes.
You know, he can maybe do Danny. If you're listening, old boy.
Yeah.
Maybe you can do a quick survey and give us kind of a general. Maybe just leave it on the comments field, Danny. How many shops are in the UK?
There you go. That's a good idea.
Because I know,
yeah.
I know Forbidden Planet
yeah,
is
and,
like
and
a
Virgin has comic book
right,
shops,
really,
yeah.
really good shops in yep. London and stuff yep. like that. But I'm just wondering how many, because you know, and here's an extension of what I just talked about. The very first UK Comic Con happened this year that Danny attended.
Right.
right?
Yes,
so
right.
this is a growing
market.
We're like missionaries. We're
spreading the gospel.
Yeah, we're imperialistic. You know, we're spreading the word of comics.
Imperialistic
worldwide.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like so. Darth Vader all of a sudden.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Walt, I don't know where the time goes. That is all the time that we have for today.
All right, Chris, Comic Culture, produced by Anthony Falcone, engineered by Andrew Roebuck. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link, scroll to the comments field below, and add some comments. You can also hear us on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com.
And remember, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Wise words, Chris.
Absolutely.
Please go out and support your local comic book shop.
Have yourself a great day.